Hey, everyone, and welcome back to Big Mad True Crime, where we get big mad over true crime, except today we're not. It's Thursday, which means it is bonus episode day, and it's a little bit of a palate cleanser, and we're just going to hang out and chill, do some Q&A from some of my favorite people in the world, you guys, listeners. A lot of these are coming from the Facebook group, Big Mad True Crime on Facebook, super easy to find. Anywho, let's roll. Also, my cold is pretty much all gone. Thanks to everybody who reached out and was like, I hope you're feeling better, because I am. And that was really nice. I just felt like I had to preface that my voice was going to be trash because it was trash. But we're back to normal now. Okay. This first question is from Jackie. She says, when is the next watch party and what will we all be enjoying? So anybody who doesn't know about the Big Mad True Crime watch parties, it's because they really didn't exist until last week. I had some extra time on my hand at night and everybody had been talking about American Nightmare on Netflix and how crazy of a story it is, talking wetsuits, goggles, kidnappings, really calm people, and fucking Colonel Mustard. Anybody who's watched that knows exactly who I'm talking about. Insanity. Basically, we just pick a documentary that we're all going to watch at the same time, and then we comment our thoughts in the comments and reply to each other, and it's a blast. We did What Did Jennifer Do? Or no, What Jennifer Did. Kind of the same, but not. It's a documentary on Netflix by the same people who did American Nightmare. It was about this girl who calls 911, and she's like, oh my gosh, I don't know where my parents are, but I heard gunshots. And they're like, okay, well, can you lock the door? And she's like, no, I'm tied up. And I was like, but how are you on the phone then? Police did ask her that. Turns out she hired a bunch of dudes to come in and kill her parents so she could be with this drug dealer guy she dated, alleged drug dealer guy she dated, right? Ooh, I spoiled that. So sorry for everyone. Anywho, it's a wild ride. Some Casey Anthony vibes because she lies about literally everything, including going to college. She did not lie about working at Disney, though. But she also didn't live in Florida. She lived in Canada. Canadian people are so polite. That's a compliment. But they did cuss a couple times, and I was like, oh, you got the Canadians to cuss. That was in the documentary. I don't know what we're going to watch next. Maybe. Phoenix Rising. Hear me out. So Marilyn Manson, he was dating or engaged to Evan Rachel Wood. She's an actress, and I'm pretty sure she was super young. I want to say like 19, and he was like maybe 36 when they were together. And the relationship was horrendous, as you can imagine, and she made a documentary. It's on HBO Max, or I think it's just Max now, 900 apps. I've been wanting to watch that, so if anybody's down, I'd be super pumped to do that as our next watch party. I try and give times for when we're going to do them, but I also haven't ascended to that level of adulthood at night. Sometimes my kids are feral, and they YOLO a little too hard at nighttime, and so usually I'm like, sometime after 9 p.m., but hopefully we're kind of all at that stage where we're like, you know what, after 9 p.m., I'm kind of free too, so just watch for the notification on Facebook. I'll try and get better at that. Okay, the next question is from Marilee. I hope that I said your name right. And I want to sing, but I'm not going to do it. The question is there a case you'd want to revisit? So, kind of. We talked about this a little bit in one of the lives recently on Monday. It was like 2 Mondays ago. That's irrelevant. Probably the Natalia Barnett case. I actually covered that when the podcast was a baby, and I covered it with the documents available. I didn't want to cover it based off of hearsay or he said, she said, which is basically the same thing. I wanted to stick to only the documents, which is what I did when covering that case. And the documents were pretty direct. It was, she's an adult, she's not an adult, she's an adult. Judges, it was kind of medical evaluations and all that stuff, and complaints, whatever. Since then, we've learned a shit ton more about that case, and it's a whole lot more controversial than it was when it was already controversial. And we didn't know, you know, how bananas her adoptive dad was going to come off in that documentary. And we still really haven't heard from her mom, adoptive mom. But we did hear a lot in that documentary from neighbors or friends of playdate people, things like that. And there's been a Dr. Phil episode, all sorts of things. I took that episode down when the first documentary came out because when I covered it the first time, it was based off of what was available at the time, which is much more limited compared to what's available now. And I wouldn't want anybody to go back and listen to that episode and think that I have everything that's available now and didn't mention it or didn't feel like it was relevant to discuss, because had it been available back then, we absolutely would have talked about it. But I didn't want to cause like an uproar, and that case became so viral yet again. So that's a case that I would probably want to retouch and maybe recover. I'm sure most people don't even remember me covering that case because it was probably within the first like 6 months of the podcast, which means the audio would have been awful. But maybe one day, we'll see. I would like to hear more sides of everything. I think that her adoptive mom's kind of role in this life they were leading is so elusive still, and I would want to know more about that. And also, I feel like my opinion on this case would be a little bit of a hot take that maybe wouldn't be super popular or along with kind of the viral opinions that have come along with it, just sticking with the basis of the documents, the documentation, the court records, the medical records, blah, 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 whatever that's been addressed in court hearings, and then applying it to the hearsay, the he said, she said, that has come out since. I don't know if we would all be on the same page. And that's okay. 10 out of 10 recommend, you know, having adult conversations where you kind of go back and forth a little bit and argue your point as an adult. I don't know. We'll see. That's also a case where I feel like it's gotten so much coverage at this point that me covering it would kind of be a waste of time, because I don't think there's any reliable change. I don't even think that statement applies, but that's what made sense in my brain. I don't think it would make an impact really on anything. It would just be for the sake of sharing my opinion or how I feel about everything. So I don't know. We have a platform here that we can give a voice to a lot of people who need it. So, you know, should I? I don't know. This podcast is sponsored by Mad Rabbit. Hey guys, I have a ton of tattoos. Some mean something to me and others are just fun, like my pineapple grenade or my eyeliner. But regardless of the meaning, I love my tattoos, and it is finally warm enough for me to show them off. I want my tattoos to age well and look great every single day, which is where Mad Rabbit comes in. Mad Rabbit was founded by two besties with a passion for ink who are on a mission to reinvent tattoo aftercare. Mad Rabbit creates simple, effective, and natural products that help improve and preserve tattoos, all delivered directly to your door. Their hero product, their tattoo balm, is so incredible that it sells once every 90 seconds. That's crazy. It revitalizes, replenishes, and preserves tattoo ink with clean and natural ingredients, and it's effective on both new and old tattoos on all skin types. I actually used my Mad Rabbit this morning because I knew I was going to be outside in my short sleeves looking fabulous in the sun, and I wanted my tattoos to match my vibe. The lines look so clean and just bold, and the colors look so bright. I love it. And I'm not the only one who loves it. After using Mad Rabbit, 94% of people reported it helped preserve their tattoo's depth, 88% reported their tattoo's contrast looked more vibrant, and 87% reported their tattoos just looked more intense. For anyone with tattoos, you know that that's a big deal. Like I said earlier, I love my tattoos and I do plan on getting more soon. I've put it off for far too long. It is time. I spent so much time in my past trying to figure out the proper aftercare and using who knows how many products. It felt like there was nothing truly made for tattoos, and the ones that were, they just were not my favorite. But Mad Rabbit has been incredible. I love how vibrant my tattoos look after using it, and I cannot wait to use it again after I get my next one. Now is the time to try out Mad Rabbit. They've preserved over 3 million tattoos, and they've got an exclusive offer just for Big Mad True Crime listeners. If you go to madrabbit.com/bigmad25 and use promo code BIGMAD25, you'll receive 25% off. That's 25% off when you head to madrabbit.com/bigmad25 and use our promo code BIGMAD25. Okay, this next one is from Nicole. What are some of your favorite things right now? Books, movies, shows, influencers, podcasts, etc. We'll start with books. So I have not had the time to read a book in months now. I am doing my contracting job outside of the podcast, which is taking up a ton of my time. And so I'm trying to really make sure that I don't overwork myself or overcommit to things because I have a habit of doing that. And even books kind of fall into that because I would forego sleep and just read. And your girl needs sleep or she gets cranky. And also, I feel like my skin looks like trash when I don't sleep, but that's a personal problem. I did see that Tessa Bailey released a new book and I love her so much. I think Megan Quinn might have released some too since the last time I checked. So there's obviously a bunch of books I need to add to my reading list. As far as movies, I could not tell you what movies exist. I feel like maybe COVID destroyed the movie business. I'm not totally sure, but also the movie theaters I've been to the last few times I've gone were atrocious. And so I honestly have no idea what movies even exist. So I'm kind of a bummer on that answer. As far as TV shows, I have been binging Rizzoli and Isles. Absolutely love it. I'm going to watch the series finale tonight, which I'm kind of bummed about. And now I don't know what to watch. So anyone who has any recommendations on what I should watch next, I really appreciate things that have like six or more seasons. The more seasons, the better. I loved Supernatural. Bones is like my favorite show on the planet. I binged NCIS until all the cool people left. Bull was a good show. The Good Wife was amazing. So yeah. Oh, and I also like, I love How I Met Your Mother and Parenthood and How I Met Your Father. I'm pretty bummed that that got canceled. Anywho, New Girl, soundtrack of my life, Friends, It's a Way of Life. So yeah. I've also watched every Dexter ever in the new Dexter. Breaking Bad, I loved. Weeds, love that show. Better Call Saul, watch that. Ozark, watch that. I feel like I've watched everything. I need suggestions, you guys. Oh, influencers. I don't really think I know about any influencers other than like I'm friends with a couple, but I don't follow their stuff. I've been into TikTok a bit recently. I need to figure out who the people are that I like on TikTok. There's this one comedian and he sometimes talks about true crime. Let me see if I can pull up his TikTok really quickly. He's hilarious. Ooh, loud, rude. Okay, I'm going to go in my liked and see if I can find one of his TikToks really quickly because he deserves a shout out. He's hilarious. Please come to Virginia. I will come and see you every single time and buy every ticket. Not every ticket because that'd be weird. I'd be the only person in the audience. Nonetheless, you get what I'm saying. Okay, we're scrolling. I know I've liked so many of his videos. I've also liked so many other people's videos. He has such a dry sense of humor. And I feel like we tell stories the same way, but like when I'm chilled out, not when I'm in podcast mode. Oh my gosh, where are your TikToks? Oh, here he is. Okay, so his name is Josh Johnson Comedy. He only has 830,000 followers on TikTok. Please change that. He deserves like 30 million followers. Dude is hilarious. Hilarious. So as far as influencers, I don't think you can count that as an influencer, but he's on TikTok. So I feel like maybe he could be, you know, squished in. So Josh Johnson Comedy. And if you hear this, Josh, I would like to start a true crime podcast with you. Please. And I know that he's a comedian, but like in the same way that you guys are like, oh my gosh, your one-liners crack me up. Like this dude will crack you up. He's never like ever disrespectful. He's not like a true crime comedian, but he does talk about something. Like he talked about Diddy. And so you got to see where that's going. But yeah, check him out. You will die laughing. Okay, back to the question. Oh, podcasts. I love so many podcasters. So many, but I think somebody's actually going to ask, okay, literally the next question from Caitlin is what podcast do you like to listen to? So let's roll into that. My first thought period is my guilty pleasure is listening to the Vile Files on Monday. He releases like, I don't know, 3 episodes a week. I don't tend to listen to the other ones unless I'm super bored and have nothing else to listen to. That's no shade. It's just like, I'm not into like reality roundups or whatever. But I do love his call-in episodes because on Monday, he has listeners call in with relationship issues. I know I've talked about this before, but I am so invested in everybody else's tea. If you guys ever want to start a podcast where you call in and we talk about your life's problems, count me in. I'm your best friend. That's what we'll call the podcast. It'll be called I'm your best friend. I'm actually really serious. So if you want to do that, let me know, because I'm invested in other people's tea. And also, I feel like I'm pretty level-headed. Sometimes I'm not, but also most of the time I am. So yeah, that's my guilty pleasure. Another guilty pleasure I have is Two Hot Takes. She's amazing, and she has a bunch of really cool guests on there that are funny. They go through wild and crazy Reddit posts where people are losing their fucking minds. Like the Am I the Asshole posts, or Today I Fucked Up posts, or I don't know, the marriage subreddit. I mean, these posts are wild. And again, I'm invested in other people's tea. As far as true crime goes, the prosecutors, 10 out of 10, every single time. I think they're covering the Robert Wone case right now. A lot of people have asked me to cover that case. So if you're one of those, go listen to the prosecutors. They break every case down in deep dive style. So we're kind of following their lead right now. But another really good one is Crime Weekly. Derek and Stephanie are some of my favorite people. Stephanie is the nicest person you'll ever meet. So nice. She's a girl's girl. Like, she's a bestie. She's one of us. Like, if you love me, you would love her. She is a queen among queens. Derek is awesome. He's such a good friend. He's such a loyal person. He's like us in the fact that he wants to stick to the facts of a case. He's not here for, you know, bullshit back and forth, rabbit holes where we're just following rumors. He's very fact-based, and he was a detective, so he comes from that angle. He actually literally has another podcast called Detective Perspective. So check that out too. It's all fact-based, no small talk, because honestly, I love you guys, and I know that you guys love me too, and it feels weird saying that, but you guys are amazing. But you don't want to hear about my fucking day. You don't. If you wanted to, you could follow me on social media and we can chat about it. But like, let's be real. You're not listening to a podcast to hear about any small talk. Neither of those podcasts have small talk. The prosecutors might like go off on a tangent here and there, but it's never just like useless. And also, they're awesome. Other podcasts that I love, least of these, obviously, no small talk, all fact-based. Leah is a queen. I love her so much. She's one of my best friends. Such a loyal person. Such a down-ass person. She is amazing, so down to earth, so she's just a gem, and she would give anyone the shirt off her back. She would starve to feed other people, and like that's what makes her a 10 and also her toxic trait, because she's just so giving and selfless and such just a determined person. I love her so much. She's the best friend everybody needs. Others, Crime with Holly. She was half of Crimeaholics, and she has started her own podcast. She's amazing. If you haven't followed her, go follow her. She's such a gem. She's such a good person. She's so sweet. She's such a fierce little mama. And speaking of mamas, we have Mama Margot from Military Murder. She's amazing. She was active duty. She's now reserves in the military. She is an attorney. She's so smart and so dedicated to the cases that she covers. Another great podcast is Going West. Daphne and Heath are some of my favorite people. Just the most laid-back people on the planet. People who are instantly just some of your best friends. Gosh, who else? Oh, I met the host of Ice Cold Case when I went to the Othram event with CrimeCon in Houston. She is such an incredible person. Her father was murdered, and she started a podcast kind of just investigating her father's murder on her own. And she has done such an amazing job. She is such a force to be reckoned with, an amazing person, such a strong, beautiful queen. So if you have not heard of that podcast, go give it a listen. She's incredible. They're either about to start the second season or they have. Definitely go and check that out. Oh, Mama Mystery is amazing. Moms and Mystery is amazing. Crime Salad, wonderful. There are just so many good podcasts out there by good people that, I don't know, I could go on forever. But those are the ones that I would suggest. I know the hosts. They're wonderful. Love it. Oh, Housewives of True Crime, too. They're a blast. I love them so much. The next question we have is from Jordan, and it says, top three cases you wished were solved. So I think Serenity Denard, that one bothers me still to this day. Summer Wells, people don't just vanish. So I would love an answer to that. I want to see Elnaz's case come to a close. There have been some arrests, a lot of updates in that case. I really should probably do an update episode. Just a small little blurb to let you guys know. For anybody who doesn't know, I oftentimes will put updates in a case highlight on Instagram. So if you're ever curious, go find the highlight. Instagram's a little bit of an asshole, but it only lets you have 100 highlights, which generally probably isn't a problem for anyone. But that means that only the last 100 episodes of the podcast have a highlight because Instagram just runs out of room. That being said, I do try and put any updates to articles in those highlights. They're easy for you to find. You can go back and check on the cases that you want updates on. I could honestly think of so many, though. Cover the case of the elderly couple who disappeared from their home. I would love to see that solved. Ugh, I feel like I could go on forever about this. Those are the top few that come to mind, though. Oh, and Kelly said that was going to be my question. This episode is brought to you by IQBar. Hey guys, one of my best qualities is how hard and how much I work. I wake up in the morning excited for the day. I love my job and I'm 100% dedicated. One of my shortfalls though, and this might sound a little bit ridiculous, but sometimes I get so caught up in work that I forget to eat. I tell myself I'll make something as soon as I finish this or that, but then I get carried away and I just sometimes forget. Thankfully though, I found IQBar and it has been such a little daily life hack where I can get in something nutritious and delicious, quick and on the go. Start each day right with IQBar's brain and body boosting bars, hydration mixes, and mushroom coffees. Their ultimate sampler pack includes all three. Get 7 IQBar flavors, 4 IQ Mix flavors, and 4 IQ Joe flavors. And today, our listeners get an exclusive offer of 20% off plus free shipping. Just text BIG to 64000. 64000. Whether you're running a marathon, running errands, or you're like me and you just get caught up doing something you love, IQBar empowers doers with superior brain and body nutrition. Their plant protein bars are packed with high-quality ingredients to keep you physically and mentally fit. IQBars are vegan, gluten-free, and low in sugar and carbs. And every flavor, chocolate sea salt, peanut butter chip, wild blueberry, and more is absolutely delicious. Their lemon blueberry is my absolute favorite, but then there's banana nut. Honestly, I have not met one that I didn't want to order more of, but IQ bars are just the beginning. There's IQ Mix for when you need to get your hydration on point. It's zero sugar, hydrates with electrolytes, and even boosts mood with magnesium and boosts clarity with lion's mane Aptogen. Then there's IQ Joe, which is a jitter-free instant coffee with 200 milligrams of natural caffeine. It too has mood-boosting magnesium and productivity-enhancing lion's mane. I was a little bit apprehensive about instant coffee, but it was so good. The toasted hazelnut was hands down my favorite, but there's also black, vanilla spice, and cafe mocha. Honestly, you cannot go wrong. I am not shocked in the slightest that IQBar has over 10,000 five-star reviews and counting. Refuel smarter with IQBar's Ultimate Sampler Pack. That's 7 IQBars, 4 IQ Mix Sticks, and 4 IQ Joe Sticks. And now our special podcast listeners get 20% off all IQBar products, plus get free shipping. To get your 20% off, just text BIG to 64000. Get your discount. Text BIG to 64000. That's BIG to 64000. Message and data rates may apply. See terms for details. Okay, Caroline Gentry said, what case will you never cover simply for your own mental health? So that would probably be school shootings for me. I don't think I can stomach it. I think I will get so upset that I can't hold my fucking shit together. I think that's where I have to draw the line. I wish that I could muster it up and get through it, but I just don't think I ever will. The sheer amount of destruction caused by school shootings, the fact that the victims are generally just going to be so many minors, and then the investigations or the responses to a lot of these shootings are hard to stomach. I think having to research and retell the reactions of all of these parents. I just, even talking about it, I'm getting upset. And then knowing that sometimes there are people who don't, the police, they just don't go into the school and they should. I don't think I could handle it. So that's probably where I draw my line. So one reason I'm never going to cover Susan Powell is because the Cold podcast did such a phenomenal job covering her case that there is nothing I could add to it that has not already been added. If you want to know everything there is to know about the Susan Powell case, you should listen to that season of Cold. It is unmatched. But for the longest time, that was the case where I couldn't even watch documentaries on because it bothered me so much. In doing true crime for as long as I have, I'm able to consume content created about Susan Powell's case. But I did stop after listening to the Cold podcast because they covered literally everything. There is no stone left unturned when it comes to that podcast. And so that was one that I just could not, for my mental health, for a very long time consume any information about. But now I'll just never cover it because I want to cover things with a purpose. And I cannot add anything to that case that Cold did not do 10 times over. They were absolutely incredible, amazing, 10 out of 10 recommend listening to that podcast. All right, Mariah Trout said, what's your absolute favorite makeup products you can't go without? Okay, not true crime related at all. So I use a ton of Brandify products. I've done an ad for them, but I actually requested that I be able to do ads for that company because I use so many of their products. I also know some people who know them, which is how I was introduced to them in the first place. Their cleanser is the best cleanser I have ever used. It takes a lot of time to look as fake as I do. I wear like 13 pounds of makeup a day, and I do it for me. It makes me feel good about myself. It gives me time in the morning to do something that makes me feel accomplished, and I like to feel like I'm pretty, okay? That doesn't make me vain. It makes me like makeup, and I love it. That being said, washing off 13 pounds of makeup at night, very difficult task. The Brandify cleanser melts that shit off my face like a blowtorch. That was aggressive. But when I tell you it just melts that stuff off of my face, it melts it off. Like there is no raccoon under my eye, nothing. It is incredible. It also comes in a glass bottle, like a really thick one. I don't know. It just feels fancy. But none of their stuff is like uber expensive. It was created by this woman and her whole thing was, you know, she worked in the industry and she was like, everybody's kind of getting the same stuff, but they're paying way more when it's in a branded bottle. And so like it's called Brandify. Get it? Play on words. She also has an app where you can look up the expensive makeup you like. And then people have rated dupes. I don't know. It's like a life hack everybody should know about. Anywho, I use the Brandify cleanser. And then they have a milk moisturizer that I love. I want to say they also have like a water moisturizer. It's like called milk and water. Obviously, there's more than that in there. But those are amazing. I'm also using this one thing I got in my Ipsy box. It used to be BoxyCharm, but they got bought by Ipsy, so whatever. But it's like super thick, whatever, I don't know. Oh, and I use Brandify's eye cream at night. I think it's literally called like a nighttime eye cream. I use that as well. Those are my favorites as far as like skincare. For makeup, Natasha Denona is amazing. She's honestly like pretty pricey, but I have that BoxyCharm Ipsy box, which is where I've gotten all of those palettes from. I think I pay like $40 a month or something. It might be like $45. And I get really nice makeup every month. It's my like splurge on you, treat yourself day every single month. So don't touch me. I also love Urban Decay. Their eyeshadow is amazing. Their black eyeshadow is the best black eyeshadow I've ever found. So if you're looking for a good black, there you go. Oh my gosh, what is that other palette I use? Oh my gosh, it's a girl. I can't remember. It's going to drive me insane. Anywho, for mascara right now, I think I'm using something called Radiance. It also came in an Ipsy bag. I think my mouth just made a wild noise. I don't think Kyle's going to be able to take that out. Anywho, I try all the mascaras that they send me in the Ipsy thing because I don't want to like go out and buy makeup myself. It's expensive. And like one palette is going to be how much I spend on the entire box. So I've tried the Better Than Sex mascara and it's a good like simple mascara, but this Radiance one is absolutely my favorite. But when I run out, I'll probably just try the next thing. And then if I hate it, I'll just buy Radiance on my own. For bronzer and foundation. I'm a powder kind of gal. And my go-to ride or die bronzer and foundation will always and forever be Rihanna's brand. It's called Fenty and it's amazing. I love it so much. It's like full coverage. And I'm just not a cream makeup kind of person. For a blush, I use, honestly, you can use whatever for blush. But right now I'm using the Kylie Jenner blush. My favorite eyeliner is and will always be NYX or NYX, whatever you want to call it. And I think we've pretty much covered everything. Oh, eyebrows. I use a brow pomade from Benefit. I think it's Ulta's brand. Yeah, I paint those suckers on. Paint like an artist. And your eyebrows are cousins, not twins. So don't try and overcorrect too much or you'll look bananas. Been there. The next question is true crime related. It's from Renate, and I hope I said your name right. It says, what convinced you that Stephen Avery is guilty? The evidence. So I actually have the research on that case. We just haven't covered it yet. I don't know why, but we'll kind of cover everything, but like pretty much just all the evidence, all of it. I don't want to give it too much away. I feel like I'm going to cover an entire case if I like go into too much detail because I won't know when to stop. But the evidence in that case and my own independent research into the evidence on that case, because when I first saw Making a Murderer, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm going to become a post-conviction attorney. Kathleen Zellner is my hero. And then I covered Chadwick King and I was like, oh no, she's not my hero. And then before that, I researched Stephen Avery's case on my own and I was like, well, shit, I've been duped. Duped I have been. So yeah, it's the evidence, but I'll get more into that one day, I promise. Well, I don't want to promise, but like I'm pretty certain I'm going to get more into that one day. All right, Jillian asks, what do you think happened to Maura Murray? So this has actually been asked of me so much recently. I feel like every live that I've done recently, people have asked me that. And so I'll just answer it on here. Maura Murray's case is not one that I have independently researched myself. And so I want to be cautious in saying anything, knowing that any opinion I have is based off of information fed to me by somebody else. That being said, having consumed plenty of documentaries and podcasts that have covered her case, I think I do tend to lean more towards there was some kind of mental health something going on, but that is based off of research I have consumed by other people, which could be, you know, whatever. Do with that what you will. I also want to note that you would assume they would have found her by now, and they haven't. And so I do think there's an argument in the other direction. I don't want to invalidate any opinion that anyone has based on their own independent research because I have not done it. But yeah, that's where I stand. I can see where both sides are coming from and thinking like, oh, this was probably mental health related. And then also the, well, then why haven't they found her? So I don't know. I don't want to like talk out of my ass and then get myself into a fucking shit storm because I have seen the drama surrounding different creators or, you know, podcast hosts who have maybe overstepped some boundaries or been disrespectful. I don't want to be involved in any of all that. That's all I have. And I wish I had more. That's not a case that I've researched myself. And I never want to speak on something that I honestly just don't know about. All right, Kayla has asked a very important question. It is simply coffee or chocolate. Ma'am, Kayla woke up and chose violence. Okay. I don't know. What about coffee chocolate or chocolate coffee? They're both awesome. Why does one have to choose? How does one choose? I don't know that I could go my entire life without having chocolate because there are days where I'm like, I need chocolate or I will die. Will I? No. Do I feel like I might? Yeah. Will my soul catch on fire if I don't? Absolutely. So I need chocolate sometimes, but also there's nothing like waking up and just having a nice hot cup of coffee, beautifully made, and just relaxing before your day catches on fire. And so, I don't know, I would probably go with chocolate, but I don't want to give up either, Kayla. What would you choose, Kayla? I want to know. What does Kayla think? Okay, the next question is from Aaron Matthews, and it says, what's the first case that got you interested in true crime? Great question. So my dad was actually a homicide detective growing up. And so I don't know that there was any case in particular online that got me interested in true crime. I think I was just interested in my dad and what my dad was doing. His bedtime stories at night for me were talking about the cases that he worked that day or was working on at the time. And so I think that my kind of interest started there as opposed to consuming it on TV. Obviously, I remember the OJ case when I was younger. The Watts case is definitely the case that made me decide to say something. I think having grown up with a homicide detective dad, I knew kind of the basics of homicide investigations. And so when I saw this case go viral, I knew just based on what was being reported that there was so much more to the story. And so I think a part of me was like, okay, if the media is going to continue to report on this case, there should be a place where everyone can get the full story because we're missing kind of seasons 2 through 8, but we're picking up at season 9 in the media. And everyone should be able to understand the entire investigation. There is something so empowering about just being educated on the things that you are interested in and passionate about that, I don't know, I just wanted to be able to, one, do that research myself, and then two, give it to people who are interested in cases beyond what the media is reporting, because there is always, I promise you, there is always so much more. The media has no rules. In the end, the media is a business. They are working on clicks, downloads, all those things. So you will see, and this is how it goes. You will see creators, reporters, documentarians, they create content that will continue to get them hired. They want salacious. They want big emotions, big feelings, and they don't have many rules. Honestly, there are no rules. There's like some rules when it comes to like legality, but generally speaking, there aren't any rules. Any of us can say anything we want. So you're going to see reporting that maybe only covers what will drive more likes, what will drive more clicks or more downloads. And I don't love that about the media, especially when it comes to crime. I believe that everybody should be educated in what they are consuming. When you are consuming something, you should be getting the facts and you should be able to trust that you are simply getting the facts. And so I wanted to create something where, okay, we're going to put this out there for the basis of just being educated about this thing everyone is talking about with all of the information available, not just bits and pieces that will get downloads or clicks. I didn't expect really fucking anyone to listen to anything I had to say. But for the people who did want to seek it out and who did want that information, I figured, hey, it's here. It's available for anybody who does want to listen. It turned into something wild and incredible. I can't believe we're here almost 5 years later. You guys are amazing. But I think the Watts case is what drove me to create a podcast, to just create a place where we could cover the facts of a case. And that's it. To not leave things out or try and make something more salacious than it is. Crime in and of itself is terrifying. All of the details matter, not just some of them. And so I wanted to create a place where people could learn and then take the information that they've learned and apply it to other cases. Where if you're watching an investigation unfold in the news, you can say, hey, have you done this? Because I heard about this department doing this thing on that case. So have you done that? Or when you hear police departments say like, oh, you know, well, we're really, really limited in what we're allowed to do. And, you know, there's nothing else we can do but wait right now. You guys being so educated in true crime at this point can say like, that's bullshit, sir. Disrespectfully, absolutely not. Here's a list of things that I know you can do because I've seen other departments do it in other cases. So now I just want to know why you're not doing that. Being educated in true crime or getting educated in true crime, I feel like is so empowering, not just to you, but into your ability to then hold people accountable for what is possible. Hot girls don't gatekeep. Hot girls advocate. our only job is to leave the world a better place than when we came here. And so many of you are just so absolutely incredible and hungry for knowledge and this kind of education vibe, and then using that in other places to advocate for other victims. So I went off on a tangent here, but I think that's also kind of what the Thursday bonus episodes are for. That was a really good question. Thanks for giving me the opportunity to pop off. Hey guys, I subscribe to pretty much everything. I subscribe to laundry care, makeup, bread, and just about every streaming service there is. Because my life is built on subscriptions, there was actually one time that I realized I was subscribed to the same thing twice. It definitely felt like a me problem at the time, but apparently more than 75% of people have subscriptions they have forgotten about. I knew I had a lot of subscriptions, but when Rocket Money showed them all to me, I was floored. I mean, honestly, I do need most of them, but still, shocking. The ones you don't need, though, that is where Rocket Money comes in. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. With Rocket Money, I have full control over my subscriptions and a very clear view of my expenses. I just open up the app and bam, I can see everything I subscribe to. And if I see something that I don't want anymore, Rocket Money can help me cancel it with just a few taps. I also love how the dashboard shows me this month's spending compared to last month's, so I can clearly see my spending habits. They'll even help me create a custom budget to keep my spending on track. If that wasn't amazing enough, Rocket Money will even try to negotiate to lower your bills for you by up to 20%. All you have to do is take a picture of your bill and Rocket Money takes care of the rest, meaning they deal with customer service for you. They recently told me that they might be able to lower my internet bill, so count me in. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/bigmad. That's rocketmoney.com/bigmad. rocketmoney.com/bigmad. All right, Kelly Sheely has asked, what is your feel-good activity after all the darkness and evil you see to stay positive with your life? I love this question. The first thing that comes to mind is fucking puzzles. Okay, bear with me. I love a good puzzle. In 1,000 pieces or more, don't fuck with 500, okay? We're 1,000 and up. I love puzzles. They bring me joy. They bring me happiness. They make me feel accomplished. My brain is working, but I'm not actually doing anything. I love them so much. So anybody who has good puzzle recs, let me know. Pick4U has been my favorite brand thus far. Wonderful quality, cool pictures. But yeah, that is like my go-to. Also, my porch. I love my porch. I try and control the environment when I can't control the content. I know that my content is going to be heavy. I know that my job outside of the podcast is going to be heavy. And so I try and control the environment when I can't control the substance. And so we are officially in porch weather season. We're also in pollen season, so that's been a hoot. But I love to work on my porch. I love the sunshine. I love the warm temperatures now. My plants are growing in my garden. They're popping up. I love the sounds. I love saying hey to my neighbors when they walk by. I love that. I also made my office a little kind of like 1920s-esque vibes, but also a little bit modern. I just want to be happy in the environment that I'm in. And so that's how I'm able to kind of combat it a little bit. Other things I love to do, going on walks during the sunset. Love it so much. And hanging out with really good friends that I can be myself around. My friend Kim lives like a few doors down. She's amazing. I love her. We have porch talks and coffee mornings, and that's just a nice little mental break for me. We also just went on vacation for the first time in like literally forever. We went to Georgia for spring break, and that was so incredible. When I tell you, I think that was the first time in as long as I can remember that I did not think about work. It was so needed, and I didn't realize that I needed it. I did work on a Monday. I had some meetings nonetheless, but for the most part, it didn't occur to me. I just took a minute. I took a breath in time where I was just present and my brain wasn't anywhere else. And I just enjoyed myself. And that was amazing. I really think that we need to prioritize doing that. All of us, definitely our family. We are the kind of like rest bores me people. And so we're constantly on the go and constantly like, what can we do here? What can we do next? What can we do to elevate this? What can we do to help over here? What can we do to help over there? Here's an idea I have. But when you're constantly running those gears, you do hit burnout level sometimes. And so puzzles, number one. And then porch, friends, and hopefully in the future, more vacations. So I love puzzles so much. The last question I'm going to read is from Robin, and it says, are you working on a fictional book right now? I actually kind of am. So I've been talking about writing a book for a really long time. It is going to be crime, but it's going to be, oh my gosh, I can't give it away. I'm so excited for it. It is fictional crime. That being said, you will recognize so much when you finally do read it. It is very inspired by something. And my agent is working on getting the approvals for everything right now. I had a meeting with him last week about this. We've talked about it before. I think everything is just kind of starting to move in the right direction now. And so I will start actually writing it come here soon. When I do that, I think I'll just maybe go down to the beach, rent a little house and spend a week just writing in peace, get my creative juices rolling. But I have an entire plan for this book. I cannot wait for it to be finished and to share it with you guys. But yeah, I kind of am. And I'm so excited about it. Ugh, I wish I could tell you more. I wish I could, but I can't. It'll give everything away. Literally, if I say any kind of hint, it will give it away. But I am so excited. I cannot wait. All right, guys. I absolutely love our breaks once a month where we get to chat with each other and do these little Q&As. On Monday, you'll be getting part 5 of Jason's case. It is now back to the case. We had so much backstory. Now we are from the case on. We are at investigation point. We are going to be going over the scene, Jason's autopsy, and the first two interviews that the children did about kind of what they were experiencing in the home, as well as what happened 9 months later. A lot is going to happen in part 5. This is the first episode where I was a little worried I wouldn't be able to fit everything into this episode, and we were going to have even more episodes than I planned for, you know, this portion. I was actually able to include more in part 5 than I thought. I didn't think the back story was going to take as long as it did, but it was so important for us to include every bit of that information, and hopefully you guys understand why, but you will definitely understand why moving forward. So yeah, I don't know exactly how many episodes it's going to be, but probably a few more weeks, and then, you know, we'll get back to probably single case episodes that, you know, don't have, you know, months worth of research. Most of the time, it does not take months to research a case, but this time it did. And when it does, we know that we have to do a multi-part episode. It does not happen often, but when it does, we do not back down. We cover the entire thing. So I love you guys. I love how many of you have opened your hearts and your minds and everything to this case. So many of you have bought the books and read them yourself. You're incredible. I love the support being shown to Jason's family. They have gone through it. And that's the understatement of the year. But I love how much support you guys have had for his family and shown his family and how you guys have given him a voice too, you know, for a really long time. There was a gag order on this case. And so his family had to just kind of sit by and take in all the terrible things people were saying. No, I've said it a million times, the Irish media was absolutely incredible, but I do think the US media dropped the ball a lot. There have been some podcasts who have given him a voice since then and some TV shows that have done a little bit better of a job, but some that have not. And so I love you guys. You're amazing. I'll talk to you soon. Kelsey, bye.